This is 1320 WILS. I'm Michael Cohen. Great to have you here. My next two guests say we all think we know more than we actually do. Stephen Sloman and Philip Fernbach are the authors of the brand new book, The Knowledge Illusion, Why We Never Think Alone. Stephen, Philip, great to have you both on WILS.
Great to be with you.
Yeah, I mean, the book's all
about...
Thanks for having us. Great to have you here. The book is all about how we think, and why it's flawed. Why do some people think they just know everything? How does that even happen?
Well, so the claim of the book is that everybody is like that to a lesser extent, right? That people overestimate their knowledge, and the reason we think they overestimate their knowledge is because we live in a community of knowledge, and we tend to confuse what others know for what we know. So let's see, people who think they know everything. Well, first of all, maybe they know a lot, right? It's possible, but they might, and they may know a lot more than other people know, but they still can't know everything, and they probably suffer from the knowledge illusion big time.
Now, you say that because we know something that somebody else knows, we think we know what they know. What's the difference? If we read somebody's book, how do we not know what they know at that point?
Well, gee, you know, I don't even know what's in our book. I mean, we wrote it a year ago, and I've gotten a couple of questions from the press who asked me about a particular study, and gee, I've got to go back to the book to refresh my memory. So let me tell you about a little study we did, or a little study I did with a student of mine at Brown, a guy named Nat Rabb. We made up these scientific phenomena, things like helium rain. So we told people that scientists had discovered a system of helium rain. They haven't, by the way. We made this up, right? Mm-hmm. And then we said they discovered it, but the scientists haven't explained it. They don't fully understand it. How well do you understand it? And as you would expect, almost everybody said, I don't understand it at all. They circled one on a 1 to 7 scale. But another group, we said, scientists have discovered this phenomenon, and they fully understand it. They've explained it. How well do you understand it? And now people circled, 2. So it's not like they thought they fully understood helium rain, uh-huh. but the fact that scientists understood it made them feel like they understood it.
Okay.
The idea is that understanding is contagious, and when people around you think they understand, then you think you understand.
So our knowledge today in this modern world with our smartphones and all the access to the internet, are we more knowledgeable now than we were as a society, 50, 60 years ago?
Absolutely. We have more access to information than ever before, and it's easier to get our hands on it. As individuals, the information that we store in our own heads is no more than it once was. And yet, it could be the case that access to that amount of information can actually exacerbate this illusion. So there's some interesting research suggesting that when we use Google to look things up, we subsequently forget that the information came from Google, and we actually think that it came from our own heads, and we feel like we're smarter and that we know more. And so it could be, yes, we have more access to information, and in a sense that does make us smarter and more adaptable, but it also leads to even a stronger illusion of understanding sometimes.
Is it clear how much knowledge the human brain can actually maintain?
We tell the story in the book about a psychologist named Landauer who tried to estimate the size of human memory using a variety of different methods. For instance, he would teach people some things and see how fast they can learn them, and then look at the rate at which they forget and so on. And he did this in a variety of ways and came up with an estimate of 1 gigabyte, which if you know anything about a flash drive or computer storage, it's actually quite a puny amount compared to what we can what we're able to store on a small flash drive. So it's actually kind of a surprising result that the amount that we tend to store is relatively small.
Well, yeah, that's pretty limited. Stephen Sloman with us, Philip Fernbach. Right. The brand new book is The Knowledge Illusion, Why We Never Think Alone. And basically the book is chaptered into thinking with technology, thinking about science. One of the chapters, thinking with other people. What does that mean?
Well, so individuals know relatively little, right? One gigabyte, apparently. But as a community, as a society, we know a ton. And, you know, it's phenomenal what we've accomplished as a society. Mm-hmm. You know, we've developed a nuclear bomb. On the other hand, we've exploded nuclear bombs, right? So we're both brilliant in our science and engineering, and our poetry and our literature, what we're able to produce and accomplish. But we've done that despite the fact that we're relatively ignorant. And whatever the explanation is for how it is we've accomplished so much, it also has to explain why it is that there are so many catastrophes, wars, poverty, etc., that humans have to live through.
Now, is part of the book to let people know that they're really not as smart as they think they are?
Well, we don't want to call people stupid. That's not our intention. But I do think that most people live in an illusion that they understand more than they actually do. And I think if we could turn down the hubris a little bit, make people a little more intellectually humble, we could improve public discourse. We could perhaps live in a society that's not quite as polarized as it is.
Yeah. So when you meet,
yeah, I would add to that. I would add to that that it's another way of thinking about it that might be more empowering is the idea that other people aren't as smart as you think they are. So it's I think we go through our life feeling like we have to know everything and we have to have super detailed information about everything. And that's just not really realistic with respect to the way the mind works. And so if we sort of have a more realistic perspective on what the mind is really for, which is what our book tries to provide, mm-hmm. I think it can be kind of empowering because then we're not always in search of trying to become masters of every domain and feeling embarrassed to ask a stupid question or not understanding things. So I think you don't necessarily have to take a negative perspective on that learning.
The book is The Knowledge Illusion. Chapter 9 is Thinking About Politics. Why are people so emotional when they think about politics?
Well, part of the reason, we think, is because we don't think about politics very much. Rather, our attitudes, our beliefs about politics are handed to us by our communities. So we're more, you know, spokespeople for our communities than we are rational reasoners who come to definitive conclusions, okay. You know, for the most part.
Now, is that thinking also?
Let me just answer the question.
Yeah, go ahead.
So the answer to your question is we're so emotional because when people challenge our political views, they're actually challenging our identity, right? They're challenging who we are with respect to our communities.
Mm-hmm. You talk about thinking. Is it always is it the rational type of thinking you're talking about, or is it also emotional kind of reactions that people have through their thoughts?
Well, I think our argument is that those things are all sort of tied together. So the beliefs that you have are yes, based on some knowledge, but they're also based on a lot of other beliefs you have about your beliefs about yourself, about your community, and the values that your community has, and so on. And so you can't really cleanly separate those things.
Now, do beliefs?
I think that's the point.
Do beliefs get in the way of learning, of really getting new knowledge?
I think that what gets in the way of updating our beliefs or about going out and learning about things is that we often feel like we understand things already. Mm-hmm. So if you feel like, oh, I get it, I know how the Affordable Care Act works, then you don't feel like you actually need to go out and explore and research. Typically what happens when you go and do that research and exploration is that you learn that actually reality is really complicated and there's a lot to know. I'm constantly amazed by how little I feel like I know about the areas in which I am a relative expert compared to other people. And so I think that this knowledge illusion often gets in the way of engaging in that deeper thinking and exploration.
The book is The Knowledge Illusion. One last thing, the chapter near the end of the book, chapter 11, is titled Making People Smart. And how do we do that exactly?
By putting them into teams of people that they can work with. So one of the main themes of that chapter is that smartness isn't so much a function of your mental horsepower and the size of your memory. It rather is reflected in your ability to work with people to a large degree, right? So, you know, what is intelligence? Presumably intelligence has to do with how effective you are at getting things done. And if we get things done through and with other people, then your ability to work with those people is actually an important sign of intelligence.
I'm talking about like emotional intelligence versus just raw factual intelligence, is that it?
I guess what people call emotional intelligence is certainly tied to that. But, you know, even facts. So there are a lot of facts that I don't really have at my disposal, but I know how to access them. Mm-hmm. And often I'm going to access them through other people. So I think, you know, both of the things that you're calling intelligence, emotional intelligence and factual intelligence, play into this, that our ability to work with people contributes to both of those things.
The one last thing, the technology we have today, is it in some ways working against our knowledge and our ability to retain information in our mind?
There's definitely some evidence for that. So there's research on what's called the Google effect, suggesting that when something's available on Google and we know it is, then our brain sort of automatically forget that information and just retain where to access that information. So for instance, my wife loves the GPS, and I often laugh because we're just going around the block half a mile, and she wants to use the GPS because she doesn't know how to get there anymore. So that's definitely our minds tend to be very efficient in that way, in terms of forgetting the details when we don't need them to act effectively.
The book is The Knowledge Illusion, Why We Never Think Alone, Stephen Sloman and Philip Fernbach. Right here on 1320 WILS. Thank you both very much.
Great talking to you. Thanks a lot, Michael.
All right. We'll be right back. You're listening to more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.